everybody. Welcome to Pub Table Racers. It's July 20th. Yes, we are way past halfway through the year. My name is Tim Packman. Sitting next to me is my great friend of 23 years, co-host and co-owner of Pub Table Racers,
Warren Rossell.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's who it is. Thanks for being with us tonight. We appreciate it very much. And our guest tonight is Rob Lopes. And just get your popcorn. That's all I'm going to say. And I mean that in a good way. Warren, we have a bucket of beer.
We do.
So you know what I think we should do? Oh, you already started.
Yeah, I'm
every week, you can't wait.
I get out at 4 o'clock nowadays.
And oh, lucky us. All right.
I got to pregame a little bit.
I get you. That's fine. It's your house. It's your man cave. It's your studio.
I don't have to drive anywhere. So.
The stairs.
I can usually make it up the stairs.
Okay. So we drink Miller High Life, ladies and gentlemen, because of our good friend Bobby Ellison. So there's you, Bobby. All right. Oh, we got a drink. Like I said, our guest is Rob Lopes. He's currently a tire specialist on the number 6 Roush Fenway Racing Ford. Were they in the news lately?
They were. Got a little bit of news.
Okay,
there.
Well, maybe we're
gonna wait for Rob.
Rob, yeah, he's there. Okay, so we appreciate you being here. He's also been with Dale Earnhardt Incorporated, Richard Childress Racing, Hendrick Motorsports, and we worked with him at DEI and RCR.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. I was making sure to. I didn't work at Hendrick, so.
No, just two places. That's
yeah,
good.
But both good. Right. Both all really good.
Yeah. Let's talk about the news. First, Rich Bickle, congratulate him. He won Slinger last night. It's his 45th and final year, and he's won more races so far this year than he has in the last 4 or 5 years. So I said, "Are you going to retire yet?" He goes, I go, "It's Rich. Come on, we're doing a cruise at the end of the year." Yeah, so check that out. Also, SRX, I want to touch on that. They had 6 races, 6 Saturdays in a row. They went to different tracks, 2 dirt, 4 asphalt. Fans packed the stands except for Knoxville. I was so happy to see the response that racing got.
Sure, it's something different. All-star cast there.
Yeah.
That helps.
That sells tickets.
Quality guy and Ray Everham and Tony Stewart running a deal.
With CBS Sports behind them.
Yep, and Camping World.
Yep, I'm behind them as well.
You know, so you got some good, just some great minds in that. And I like how they tweaked on it as they went.
Let's have this one.
It's their deal. It's our deal. We're going to do what we want.
Oh, by the way, 100 laps, no. We'll
right,
50.
No rules. And, you know, we'll make the rules up as we go.
This is getting spread out. Let's throw a caution. For some people, they had a problem. I'm like, throw the caution. You see, watch racing.
Is it raining? No, it ain't raining, is it? It ain't rain.
Yeah, but I thought it was interesting. In addition to packing the stands, they averaged 1.3 million viewers on a Saturday night at 8 o'clock. That's
prime
time. That's pretty stout. Yes, it was on CBS, but we get it. Let's see. Let's talk about Xfinity race. Christopher Bell?
Yep, warm out.
Warm out. One again. It's like show up, Christopher Bell.
54 car.
Just hand him the trophy. There you go for Xfinity that. So nothing big there. Then we went to cup racing on...
It wasn't raining, was it?
Sunday. Well, it wasn't raining when they dropped the green flag.
It was.
But about 8 laps later.
I'm telling you, it was raining.
There's still some wet spots. Guys.
Weepers.
This is a tower. Don't drive on the wet spots.
Yeah.
We're going to cut loose here. Ready? 2 to go to green.
Yeah. Jeez.
Weepers, apparently.
Yeah, well, there was
big
a lot of,
ones.
There was a lot of people
weeping.
And then
weeping. The sky was weeping.
There was a lot of people weeping after they
wanted
their stuff
the coach,
up there.
I'm sure.
Yes. So, speaking of, lap 8. There goes the front row of
the 18, the
19, and
the 11 didn't get as much damage, but whatever happened to him, he never was any good.
Because he was a favorite. Like, oh, this will be the one where Denny Hamlin punches his ticket to the playoffs. But Kyle Busch, done, smashed it up, says we're out of here. Truex managed to save it a little bit.
But still a torp race car.
And I was listening on the radio. They said, we went to talk to him, but he says he kind of waved us off, not now, and about they interviewed 2 other people, and then I guess he must say, okay, let's do this. But, hey, you know, Martin doesn't want to spout off. But still, that was not a good
the
start.
20 ended up finishing 2nd. So, I'm sure the Joe Gibbs car
was
probably going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Do you think Coach was calling on Monday morning? What was that all about?
I'm sure he had something to say to somebody.
But, I mean, in hindsight, what are you going to do? I mean, it's already been done, but next time you go, hey, well, I'm just saying.
They've already, the difference between rain and...
I understand. But the cars are wrecked. You can't fix them, but you could say, hey, can we be a little more careful?
Here's what I'm going to say about that whole deal.
I'm
going to say one thing about the whole deal.
Yep.
They're lucky there wasn't 20 cars in that.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Because they could have crashed the first 10 or 15 or more, and then it would have really looked bad. Mm. Then it would have been a bad deal, and it wasn't going to be like we did at Charlotte the year of the
All-Star race.
We all got our backup. Just go ahead and get your backup car.
We don't have backup.
Well, now, and if you do, they don't have a motor. Some of them don't have a seat. They don't. It'd have been dark by the time you got the thing ready to go.
Yeah. So. Okay. So that, and then at the end, then at the end, you're like, oh, this Eric Almirola, oh, he's out front. That's nice. He's still out front. He's holy crap, and then he wins. So that totally blows up the playoff picture.
Yeah.
Because now there's three spots left.
There's two spots left. Three really,
right.
Because Denny's there. There's three in on points right now.
Right.
Denny, Harvick, and Reddick.
Tyler Reddick.
Yeah.
So how many races are left till the playoffs start?
There's five, six?
You see where I'm going this whole thing?
Well, yeah.
What if more guys win?
We're going to Indy Road Course. Guess who's going to be pretty good there?
Who?
Chase Briscoe.
There you go. Throw that in there.
He's been on an Xfinity car.
I get it. But
Cindric's going to be there too, so he'll probably.
So what happens if they all get thrown out? Well, all of a sudden.
But Daytona's a wild card. Yep. Yeah. I mean, Stenhouse win that thing. Upside down and on fire, though.
And then he's in. But now, all of a sudden, here you are, the point leader. You haven't won a race yet. And then you got Harvick.
Checkered flag, Stenhouse.
And you have.
Put him out. He's got a trophy coming.
You have two teammates battling each other now because that pushed Austin down out of it. So, I mean, points racing now is stupid. You got to go win. Just win. I'm telling you. Whatever. Right. Anyhow,
okay.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
And congrats to Eric.
Great for Eric.
Before I bring our guest on, we have to do our...
Let's do our commercial.
Our people that make this happen. First of all, Lake Norman Patio and Game Rooms. Brad, great items he has there for outdoors, patio furniture.
Adirondack chairs, all the fancy grills, outdoor stuff around your pool.
Fire pits.
Your fire pit.
Right.
In your man cave,
now he's got
tables,
wine bars.
Wine barrel bar.
Rubber baby. Anyhow, it's amazing. I went stop and saw it today. Great items. Go check them out. As we said, he's at the end of this month. He said, I want to try some different things. So, yes, folks, we're looking for another title sponsor.
Yeah.
And not only are we affordable, we're fun.
We're very affordable.
We do work for beer, but beer's not free, so we have to buy that stuff. So go check him out. Game room stuff, everything. Rapid removal, Darren Russell. He has 20-yard containers. He puts them on the rubber tires, drops them in.
Doesn't mess up your yard.
Right.
No fuss, no muss.
What is it? Debris removal.
Yeah.
Remodeling.
If you're remodeling, got to clear out a house.
Stuff you want to get rid of. Right. That's the way to go.
Your mother-in-law was a hoarder. You throw all that shit in there, and he'll take care of it for you.
And his slogan is, unofficially,
your shit is his bread and butter.
There we go. So that's it. And Darren also works in racing with Warren, engine guy, and he's also a major food person. Support those that support what we've got going on. Rob Lopes is about to split his pants laughing at us. And we're not even done with that yet. Warren, who do you have behind you there? RacingJunk.com. Check them out. Buy, sell, trade. All the great items they have. If it has wheels or had wheels or is involved with wheels, go check them out. Everything from haulers to
ATVs,
shop,
to snowmobiles, to trailers, to
apparel.
Apparel,
they have it. Just go log on. Check them out.
Yeah, go look at it.
And finally, the garage shop, Aaron Brown, our good friend over there, former coworker. Big announcement coming out on Friday, so kind of pay attention Friday afternoon.
I'm sure you'll put a nice thing out.
There's already a promo going up tomorrow.
Perfect.
And this announcement's kind of cool.
Very
cool. And it's part of a bigger announcement, so a lot going there before we head to Bonneville Salt Flats. So I'm going to ask you folks a question. I'll be gone. Would you guys like to see a show live from Bonneville Salt Flats?
Yes, yay.
Pub Table Racers from Bonneville Salt Flats?
Yeah.
If you say yes, we'll make it happen. It's probably going to happen whether you say yes or not. So go check them out. Also, I remind people that we have a website, pubtableracers.com. What do you find on there, Warren?
You find hats, koozies, shirts,
tumblers. Tumblers? Oh, yes. Children's books?
Children's books.
Award-winning children's book?
Right.
Free autographs if you're free, personalized.
Memorabilia. Well, it's not memorabilia. It would be. It might be memorabilia. We don't get a sponsor here pretty soon.
We have hats and t-shirts. We have a lot of black, t-shirts. I'm talking a lot of them, folks. You get my point there? So check it out and log on and say, hey, we have your size. I'm pretty darn sure.
Right.
Unless you're small. We don't have small or medium. We don't have medium.
We're out of mediums.
We're out of mediums. Yep. So anyhow, we have that. So do that, please. And if you don't want to see our ugly faces during the show, where are we, Warren?
We are on Spotify.
Google.
Apple. Why do you put me on?
Because it's fun.
I know Apple. We're on Apple.
Okay. And
I listen to this sometimes when I'm bored.
And also, we do have a YouTube channel. All we ask is to go on there, give us a
subscribe.
It's free. Totally free. That's it. We're not even close to our goal, but we figure if two or three do it, we might get there.
Right.
That's it. I think it's time.
It's time.
Definitely time.
Do we need
because
to
the crowd is going crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, we now bring you on the show. The one, the only, unbelievable story guy.
Yes.
Funny than hell, hard worker.
Right.
He hails from Kearney's Point, New Jersey. He's a Steelers fan, but we said, well, let's have him on anyhow.
Right.
That's okay. As a Bills fan
and a Packer,
fan, we said, what the hell? And plus, we really like the guy. Worked on twice. Ladies and gentlemen.
Got more Super Bowl wins than we do put together, I think.
I don't even know what it, I can't even spell Super Bowl win. You know what our motto is in Buffalo? Oh, yeah? Wait till next year. That's our motto. I'm talking
ours is, oh, yeah? Maybe if we have Rodgers.
Okay, sure. All right, no further ado, Rob Lowes, please join us up here, my friend.
Come on in, Rob.
Come on in, bud. He brings his own.
He's bringing
some beverages here.
We got it. First class saddles right here. It's good.
That's perfect. Yeah, we got you.
Some stuff here.
We have this. Yeah. So scoot out there, man.
He's double fisting.
It's like sitting in the middle of an airplane here.
Yeah,
so we're good.
We won't start that already.
We're not going cross country
skiing.
Anyhow, all right, my friend. First of all, thanks for being on the show. We got cheers to that.
Cheers, Rob. Thank you, buddy.
Tumblr.
Yeah, appreciate it.
We have our own Tumblr. Did we mention Tumblr?
We do have Tumblr.
They're really nice too. All right. So first of all, we have worked with you.
Have some bourbon cream if you want.
No, I'm all set. I'm all set.
Dale and Incorporated.
Yep.
And we also worked with Richard Childress Racing.
Yep.
So. And
several
now you're
years apart, actually.
You what's that?
Several years apart.
Yes. That's okay. Yeah. There was a gap in there. And now you're with the number six Roush Fenway Racing Team. So, anything going on today?
Yeah, what happened today?
Anything going on today?
There was a meeting at the shop about 9:30.
Okay.
They talked about some dude. I think he's a
Polish kid.
Yeah. You might know him.
I do know
from Michigan?
You might know him. Yeah, Michigan guy.
I do know.
Yeah, he's going to... Yeah, big news for the six.
He actually ran pretty good this weekend, too.
Yeah.
Almost ran over our club car.
Easy. So, big news for the six. Keselowski taking an ownership role, partial ownership, and stepping into the seat of the six car. Not sure any more details than that.
About Ryan or anything?
There's talk of, maybe the third car, maybe a part-time car, maybe it's just two.
Right.
To be quite honest with you, and you guys both know how the sport works.
Yeah.
Everybody will know before we do.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's money driven. So, yeah. And if probably it's going to be on Ryan to drum up the
Newman,
to drum up the money, the bucks to drive.
Yeah, and you know how the sports change, and not to get off on a tangent already, money used to be tied to the teams.
Yeah.
Now it's tied to the driver. Or the lion's share of it is.
Yeah.
So, it kind of plays a big role in who's sitting in the seat.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting, I just kind of put this all together because your driver.
My driver.
Now went, is his driver.
Is it, yep. Brad, who works at Penske, is now going to Roush Fenway, and I think it's great.
In an ownership role, though.
I think it's great. They're getting a great driver. The reason I think it's great is because hopefully Brad can go over there and help them get better. Yeah. We need better teams to be in the sport, to be more competitive. The more teams, the more drivers you get that are competitive, the better the racing's going to be. That's the bottom line.
So this year, as of right now, we talked about last week, so let's add one more. Of the 25 of 27 races, they've been won by, the 25 won by Hendrick, Penske, and Gibbs.
Yes.
That's three teams winning of all the other ones out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if Brad can go over there and help your younger driver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, yeah. I say all of this, and I've been an advocate of saying it's a whole different car. This car that we're going to have next year, nobody knows who's going to be.
Is it safe? Everyone's going to say a rookie next year?
That,
is that, are you guys looking at maybe like everyone's a rookie?
I look at it. I look at it.
That's a fair statement. I mean, yeah. There's been several guys test.
Sure.
But there's no...
No real life racing going on.
No. Well, there's not enough cars.
Right.
Not enough cars. Still being built.
Yeah.
Got a long road ahead.
All right. So how do you feel that you're getting Brad Keselowski as part of your team?
Are you excited about it?
Yes.
Good.
And I'll say that with this. Ryan's a good guy.
Absolutely.
I like working with Ryan.
We all work with Ryan. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still send him
We've all been around him. He's a solid driver. He's a solid dude.
Yeah.
And funny. You know, there's a lot of moving parts over there at Roush. Sure. So, you know, and with Brad coming in as a driver owner, so to speak.
Right.
I think that adds a whole other element to what's going to happen over there.
Absolutely.
Because the man, he's a smart businessman. He's a smart driver. Yeah. Very tenacious. And... You know, you saw what he built out of his trucks, you know, with his truck team.
Yeah.
You saw what he did when he started at Junior Motorsports. Yep. You know, he helped build that team from the seat.
Yeah. He's got a pretty phenomenal machine shop right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
So, you know, the man's got it together. So, you know, he can bring a lot of that expertise and that knowledge and that tenacity to our program and help elevate it.
Right.
So now a lot of solid things. A lot of solid things.
Now you also have a driver who, when he gives input, you know, like Ryan could say, "Well, we need this, or we need that, or we need this," and it's like, "Okay, well, you're just a driver, but we hear you." Now,
engineering degree though.
Okay, but what I'm saying is now the guy giving the input also owns the joint.
Part of it.
So you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's a little bit different, you know?
It's
like owning a bar and saying, hey, these drinks need to be stiffer.
Yeah.
Or me sitting at the bar and saying, hey, this drink ain't stiff enough. You know?
What we used to do as bartenders, we just pour booze down your straw. But for the longevity of Roush Racing, because, you know, I mean, it's a bad way, but Jack's not 35 anymore.
Right.
So now, let me just talk. So Brad comes in, part ownership. Little by little, he takes over more and more ownership. And one day, maybe Jack says, I'm good, I'm going to sell all of you. He steps out, it becomes.
The Fenway people are really involved over there, though, aren't they?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, extremely involved.
Which is
and you're seeing, you know, to piggyback on that, you're seeing torches being passed from some of these owners. Yeah. You know, like prime example.
I know where you're going.
The heir apparent over Hendrick.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
The heir apparent over Hendrick. You know, it was supposed to be Ricky.
Yeah.
You know, bless him. You know, it was supposed to be Ricky. And then it was, you know, they scrambled to try to put their things together.
Right.
You know, Mr. H had a plan, and the plan got ruined.
Right.
So you need somebody to help to pass the torch to.
Yeah.
So Jeff Gordon is the guy.
That's his next son. That's his adopted son.
Oh, sure.
Son. You know what I mean? I mean, you think about that, and that's how that's going to go down.
Yeah. And he's already been a part owner over there with the 48 team.
Correct.
So he's had some ownership involvement. And I got to.
So you got Jack doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know,
he's like, hey, here you go.
Brad's ready to be, you know, be an owner again.
Right.
On the Cup side. So why not make this happen?
No, I kind of like the whole thing, but I'm glad, you know, it's kind of. We asked you a couple weeks ago to come on. The news came out there. I went, oh my God, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. The chips fell right into place here. We had dominoes falling for the last 2 weeks, you know?
I mean,
you had 4,800 likes on our page.
Yeah, you got a lot of friends out there, but.
4,800. Almost 5,000 people liked coming on.
Yeah, but so we're must have had some other advertising on or
something. No.
Looking for a wing house or, you know.
So, first of all, real quick, how did you get your start in racing?
Yeah.
Like everybody else did, racing as a kid, or not as a kid. I was a young man in New Jersey. You know, got to working on dirt modifieds.
Okay.
You know, Bridgeport and Flemington and, you know, tracks around there.
Your dad, uncle, showed up?
I went with friends.
Okay.
You know, just started going and then, you know, got involved, you know, little by little, started working on these cars and stuff like that. Never really got into driving. just was more into working on them and building them and that. So, and the funny thing about New Jersey, and I told this story, for a Roush spotlight thing. Back then, you know, when we were kids, your driver's license, all that stuff wasn't on a computer, you know. You filled out paperwork, and that's how you got your pit pass.
Yeah. Lie.
Well, in New Jersey, you had to be 18 to get in a pit.
Oh, okay.
Really?
So I was 17 with a driver's license.
Okay.
And all I did was, you know, you just change the number.
You got older.
And all of a sudden, you're 18.
Yeah, you manipulate something on a driver's license.
You know,
and then it was made out of paper.
You manipulate a little something. Oh, here you go. Oh, he's 18. You know, cool.
Right.
So, you know, you get
you're 18 for 2 years.
I was 18 for three, actually. You know, I did this Steve Park thing. Steve Park was 35 years old for 7 years.
Yeah.
You know, is
it work?
Until he was 45.
Until he was 45. You know, you look at his hero card and
yeah,
you know,
Steve.
The funny thing is, on his hero card, the birthday change. You know what I mean? So.
Got it. The birthday change.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, you remember.
So, oh, yeah.
How did you go from, in a nutshell, how did you go from doing
this? So, you know, working on some cars and, you know, doing some dirt racing and end up, funny thing is I got into college. I was going to school. And I went to college for. Okay, went to college for agronomy and environmental science. Easy now.
Sorry, what the hell's that?
Basically, it's plants and soils. That's what I did. So I became a golf course superintendent. And
Cinderella boy.
Racing slowed down because I was worried about growing little tiny grass and making it look good.
Right.
Thank God.
So I got a phone call one day. Like I said, I was doing a little bit of racing. Not much. And I got a phone call one day. A buddy of mine was down here. And he says, hey, man. He says, how would you like to go racing for a living? And I was like, what kind of race are
we
talking about?
Someone we might know?
As he's watering the golf grass.
So, and I'm like, what kind of race are we talking about? Well, I'm working on this Busch car, which is 9X Finish Series.
Right.
Working on this Busch car. They're looking to hire some people. Why don't you come down here and interview? All right. So I took some time off, drove to Charlotte, sat in on this interview.
About what year is this?
95?
Okay.
94? Good. Somewhere around there?
Okay.
Because I wasn't out of college long. I was a young, you know, semi-young man when I showed up down here. And came down here and interviewed, and I said, all right, you're hired. And I was like, all right, cool.
During the interview?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, how soon can you be here? I'll be here in a couple weeks. You
Did
know?
They tell you what you were going to make?
No, they didn't tell me nothing. I didn't give a shit. You know?
Working
at race cars. Race cars, man. You know, we'll talk about that later.
$5. Awesome.
You know, because I thought I had my act together, you know, because I was making good money on a golf course. I was a young man, you know, didn't really have a lot of responsibility, you know, finances and that. So I get down here and you're making okay money.
It was probably okay.
Well, what team was it?
It was okay. Oh, geez. It was Ron Neal's team.
Ron Neal. So Prototype Engine.
Prototype Engine. Yeah, yeah.
Look at you.
Prototype.
You know, I know that.
Toes me on it. I don't know.
Our ASA cars ran Prototype Engine.
Yeah.
There you go.
So that was the start. And I got, you know.
It's another story.
And you know, back then, Warren, you guys know, you got, when you started, you got crap jobs. You got you got verbally abused.
Oh,
and,
yes,
you know, mentally and emotionally abused by your old buddies, older guys.
Taking advantage
but what
of
they
if you drank too much, you got physically abused.
But what that did though
with,
is it made
woke
you
up
tougher.
With eyes on your eyelashes or something.
But it made you tougher.
Absolutely.
It made you mentally tough.
There,
yeah, there was a little bit of hazing. It made you mentally tougher to handle the job.
Right.
Because the job's not easy.
No.
You know. So it made us all tougher.
Oh yeah,
you know, like we learn to just adapt and, you know, and overcome all the time, no matter what, you know. And so come down here, start working, and did like everybody else. You know, you just work your way. You know, another opportunity happens, you take it, you take your chances.
Yeah.
You know, and there always comes a point where you get somewhere in your career and you're like, all right, I'm done chasing a dollar. I need security. I need a place that I can stay.
Right.
I want, you know, I want to, you know, make a home somewhere. Right. I want to, you know, be
kind
part
of looking
something
for the bigger team, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, work your way up. And I was at Savco.
Oh, yeah.
Working on Nemechek's car.
You were at
and
right.
We got Nemechek's first win at Loudoun.
Yep.
And it's really funny that it wasn't long after that I got picked up over at DEI.
Yeah.
Paul Andrews interviewed me, and it's like, you're hired. And I go to DEI. And I was like, wow, man.
On one car. With
on the one.
Yeah.
On the one car with you.
And Bono and John Freno and all of us knuckleheads. Jody Barron.
A bunch of crazies.
Yeah.
Paul Andrews was a crew chief. A bunch of crazies. Steve was really bad.
Yeah.
He and I had a really special relationship, I will say that. A lot of practical jokes on each other. I'll tell you one right now.
Please, yeah.
It's pretty entertaining. So, you know, and he was always breaking my chops, Steve was, anyway, you know. I had a tire guy, this and that, the other thing. We'd go test it, and, you know, Paul was really tough because he was really, really into consistency. Mm-hmm. Right. So we would go places, and we would just keep making runs, and you'd start to, you know, see through the right front tire because he wanted to stay on this old set of tires, didn't want to put a new set and have to re-baseline. Mm-hmm. And you got Park yelling in the car, "Come on, Lopes, you company man, put a set of tires on this thing."
Like it's your call.
Like it was my call. You know? It's like, hey, man, you know, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do here. So Park and I would go back and forth, you know, we had a good time with each other. And I got one of these days, and one day I just got a little aggravated with him. So I said, you know what? I said, I'm done with his ass. I said, I know he's coming to the shop. I said, I'm going to set him up.
Right.
So I waited for him to get there. And snuck out as he was getting out of his Tahoe and waited. And as he was getting out and we were ready to lock the door, I opened the passenger side door.
Right.
So he locks the doors, but I can still get in the truck. So I wait for him to go inside. I pop the hood, and I cross his sparkler wires. I get baby powder, and I dump it in the vents, and then turn the fan all the way on. Right?
Go ahead.
Crawl underneath of it, taped 5 lug nuts to the drive shaft. Wow. Right? Go back inside, start working. Steve gets done with his meetings, whatever.
Right.
He leaves, goes down the road. Oh, and I tied a whole roll of Teflon tape, tied it to the hitch. I just set it on the bumper because that stuff's not going to break. It'll just trail off about 500 feet.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just something funny.
Just had a streamer.
Yeah. Sure. Nothing crazy. Nothing's going to hurt. Right. Well, the powder maybe.
Yeah.
So he gets in the truck. He gets out of his meetings. He gets in the truck, turns a key. Powder everywhere. All over inside the truck. All over him.
Powder will kill you nowadays. You know, awesome. It's all over the internet.
So he's got that. So he's like, you know, cleans his face off. And he's heading down the road. And now all those lug nuts on that drive shaft making all kinds of racket. And it's vibrating like a sun gun. So about to shake
the truck. Had to be missing.
Oh, yeah.
This truck's missing. Had to be running like shit.
Truck's missing. It's about to shake the fillings out of his teeth. So he comes back to the shop. And he comes walking in there mad as hell, covered in talcum powder.
Right.
Lopes. And he's cussing me.
It was you.
No, he knew it was me. He knew it was me. Okay. Lopes, you SOB, you know, he's cussing me, yelling through the shop. And I'm like, man, I don't even know what you're talking about. I said it. He goes, you know exactly what happened, blah, 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 blah. So full forward a little bit, we win at Watkins Glen.
Yep.
First win.
I remember that one.
Right. Well, we get home, you know, Park's like, oh, we got to go to some place, and we go out drinking, you know, sure. And all that sort of stuff. Because that's what you did, celebrate for the first
win. I was killed. I had got off the plane and went to bed.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, and we had to go the next day. We had to go test.
Right.
So we're drug out from being out all night. You know, you get up the next day, you got to go get on an airplane, go test. So we're all just used up. And we're flying home. We're on a Kinger. Remember back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Kinger.
Kinger. Yeah.
You know, it was a good time.
Door pop,
good time, you know. Yeah. And so I'm just wiped out. And I'm sitting there, and I fell asleep on a plane like this. And I wake up, and there is just a nasty odor, and just... I'm covered in just, I'm like, what the hell is going on? Well, you know how your pants kind of bunch up, you know, when you sit down? Well, he took a handful of ice and put it in my pants. So the whole front of my pants is wet.
Right, like you pissed yourself.
He took mustard and smeared it all over my shirt. You know, them white DEI shirts we had in the shop shirts?
Oh, yeah, they were so nice.
So he smeared mustard all over the front of that.
Sure, yeah.
And had my, you know, had your name on it, Rob.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, he crossed the R out, wrote an SL on it, so it says slob. Right? This is no joke now. This is all true story. Took one of them, you know, you know, them pig ears and lips and everything, you know, meat sticks or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, yep.
Stuck that in my pocket and broke it all open so my shirt stunk. I could smell it, you know.
And just, you slept through all this.
Yeah, slept through the whole thing, man.
You were passed out for it, yeah.
And I wake up and he looked at me and he looks over and he goes, that's what you get. You know?
Hey, but the worst part, is you're stuck in the plane like that till
until we land.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, it was terrible.
God, that's
it was
good.
It was terrible.
You and I were actually on a plane one night coming home from Michigan.
Yeah, you tried to tell me, hey, man, don't worry about it. Because, hey, man, don't worry about it. As long as the propellers are spinning, we're fine. I'm like, we're about to auger this thing in. You're going to tell me as long as the propellers are spinning.
It was one of the worst. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Oh, okay. There was people praying. I think, were you praying? I wasn't praying. I was kissing my ass goodbye.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. You know it's bad, like, when you're in an airplane seat and you're getting down as low as you can. And you're pulling that seatbelt around your chest.
You're getting ready. Everybody's hitting the ceiling.
Right.
Yeah. It was awful. Awesome.
That was, I think that was one of the worst.
Yeah, and he's like, Lopes, man, don't worry about it. He goes, as long as the propellers are spinning, we're fine. I'm like, I've seen them order into the earth, man. I said, we're a lawn dart right now.
I was trying to lighten it up. Yeah.
He was doing his best.
We're lightning. It's raining. Charpentier was shitting razor blades.
It was crazy.
We got a lot of comments going here. Let's see. Don Kennedy Grop, hi, how you doing? David Donovan, go Rob, best tire guy ever. Obviously, he's been drinking. You can comment or not. It's Danielle Bennett says, so proud of you, babe.
Yeah, my beloved.
Okay, got it. Just want to make sure. Rob Lowe's Fan Club, Sean Andrade.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Hunt says, I wonder if Rob can inspect the tires of my minivan for me. Go ahead. It's your story.
Yeah. I can cover that. Right. I'm covering that. I got a guy.
Is there a minivan story about tires? Or is he just being a...
Just being somebody.
Betty Lopes?
I might know her.
Mom?
My mom.
And? Okay. Okay. Hi, Mom. Good to see you.
Six fans. We got six people on it right now.
She's looking forward to seeing this. Jeff Patterson Lopes is the best. We worked with him at RCR. Let's see. Can you say the word tire as much as possible, please, Brian? That's nice.
Oh, yeah. I think I know what that might be about, too.
There we go. Jordan Abalafie says a legend. It's the legend himself. Teresa Press. Hi, Rob. Okay, got it. We got looking for some quick. Sean says he's drinking bourbon.
Right on.
Which you're a connoisseur of.
Yes.
Holy crap.
Yes.
Says, clearly these hosts have been drinking too much and won't let Rob answer.
Answer
what? You keep drinking.
Why don't you
go to your room there, bud? Anyhow. Oh, here we go. Michael Bama Williams says, you have to tell a story how you break new roommates on the road.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll try to give the PG version of that. Yeah. He knows exactly.
Yeah.
PG version. I'll try to give the PG version of that. So I'm on 88, and I was rooming with the truck driver. And we end up getting a new truck driver, who's the current truck driver on that team, Squiggs.
Okay, what's his real name?
Andy.
Thank
you. So, I decide that I'm, you know, and mind you, I've been talked to about taking it easy on the new young guys because I'm a little seasoned.
Sure. Abrasive.
Okay. We'll go with that.
I'd say unique,
and I have a story for that, but go ahead.
Ask the engineers if they've been homeschooled anymore.
Okay.
So.
Go ahead.
I'm not.
That's you.
That's great. I know, I guess.
Homeschooled.
Okay. So,
I'm talking with the second truck driver. He says, man, you need to mess with him. I said, all right, I'll work on him. So we decide to tell him, he's like, man, oh, so you're rooming with Lopes. Oh, yeah, you know, and Andy asked the question, hey, Wayne, what's he like? You know, I heard he's been around a while, this and that. He goes, he's a great guy. Scotty and I know each other. Huh? I said, man, he's a great guy, you know, this and that. He goes, you just got to watch out when he gets to drinking that Jack Daniels because he gets a little crazy. And Andy's like, well, what do you mean?
A little crazy.
He's like, he just gets a little crazy. Like, you know, he might crawl in bed with you.
and all of
a sudden, Andy's like, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, just got to watch that. He goes, only when he drinks Jack, though. So Scotty comes to me and tells me the story.
Okay, got it.
So I'm like, all right, cool. I said, I can work with that.
Yeah.
Work with that.
I can work with that.
Take the empty bottle of Jack, set it on a nightstand.
Yeah. So we go to, his first race is Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
And a tradition at Hendrick is if you sit on the pole, you know, qualify on the pole Friday, you drop your plans, and it's a team dinner. They cover everything.
Friday night.
Okay. You know, you drop your plans. You go out team dinner and they cover the entire bill. Beer, liquor, food, the whole shoot match. Everybody that's on the road goes.
Right.
That's the deal. Okay, cool. Well, lo and behold, we sit on a pole with the car. So we go to pole dinner. And Scotty gives me the high sign, you know. So I don't drink beer. I'm like, man, I hate doing this, but we're gonna go ahead and do it. So I'm like, Jack on the rocks. So Andy's kind of sitting over there toward me and his eyes get real big and he looks over at Scotty. And I didn't pay any attention. I'm just sitting on it a little bit. You know, I had a couple three. And Scott, you know, so we get ready to hop in the vans. We're heading back to the hotel. Scotty, you know, kind of nudges me. He goes, you know what to do. I said, I got it. I said, I got it covered. So we get in the room, and I walk, here, Andy, you know, let me get the door for you. And I slam the door behind me, and I lock it.
Wait, is he inside the room?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, got it.
He's inside the room. So I lock it. I'm like.
You did the dramatic lock.
I was like, what do you think, Andy? I was like, you want to watch a little TV or something, you know, hang out a little bit?
That's brutal, man.
Yeah, so, I don't want to get into too much detail, I'm just kind of horsing around with him a little bit. And anyway, he got a little scared. I said, listen, I said, we'll just throw the luggage on the bed, on this other bed. You know, and we'll sleep in yours. What do you think? So it kind of scared him a little bit, you know?
Dude, this is awful.
Yeah, it was. It was terrible. It was terrible. And, I look back on it now, and I'm like, what was I doing?
You're me and Rob Lowe.
I was insane. I was insane. Oh, torturing this poor kid.
Jeez, it's toughing up being on that team. Yeah,
so, right. So I tortured this poor kid. And
mentally.
Mentally.
Yeah, sure.
Mentally. And the funny thing was, he goes in to brush his teeth, and I crawl in my bed, and I'm out cold before he even comes out of the bathroom, So I just, like,
couldn't explain the joke to him.
No, I couldn't even explain the joke to him.
Oh, that's the worst.
Probably was hiding.
Right. But that's how
we kept peeking out the door.
And again, that's the kind of stuff. See, now, HR was already created by then, so, fortunately, I didn't have to go outside of my work building to go to the administration building for that.
Got it.
But, you know, Andy and I are still really good friends, and we still tell the story. But it was just giving him, just trying to give Andy a hard time a little bit. Okay. Like I said, Andy and I are still good friends, talk to each other a lot, so it's pretty cool.
In addition to your...
Really crummy story, but...
That's fine, yeah.
No, it's fun. It's fun stuff.
No one else has ever told that story. In addition to your tire specialist, and you are a foodie, like, not only consuming, but cooking.
What? Well, yeah. I enjoy food. Cooking, as far as cooking goes, I am an amateur at best, an aspiring amateur pit master.
Okay.
And there's some people that are on this little
chat
right here that are laughing in hysterics right now at me even saying that. I won't get into it, but it'll be funny.
Okay.
The cooking part of it is. I got into barbecue, smoking meats, and stuff like that. It was a hobby I wanted to pick up, and I tried it. And I was doing it the hard way with a stick burner, which means you had to babysit it, stay up all night. And we were doing, my road roomie and I decided, hey man, let's cook on Sunday nights when we get home. We're off Monday.
Sure.
So I would prep something up before we got on an airplane, leave it in the fridge.
Yeah.
We get off the airplane whatever time.
Yeah.
Come to my house, pour out the bourbon, get the fire going, and we'd stay up all night listening to music, smoking cigars, drinking liquor, drinking beer, smoking a brisket, smoking a pork butt, whatever.
Your day off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, stay up all night, cook. You put the meat to rest whenever it's done. You take a nap. You get up. You shred it, slice it, whatever.
Good.
Split it up. Good deal.
Right.
And we experimented a lot. Some was better than others. But I will say this, to tackle on this story, and now mind you, this went on for quite a while. And Robert and I got pretty decent. Well, what we thought, man, this is some good shit.
Right, right.
Like, we thought we had,
award-winning stuff.
Right. I wouldn't say award-winning, but it was good. It was good.
You thought you could compete?
Commendable, yes. I'm not going to say compete. Oh. No, it was good.
Okay.
It was good. So, we'll full forward to this year, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And we go to Austin, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome barbecue city.
Sure.
Okay, well, my beloved hits me up and says, you need to go here. You need to go to this place called LA Barbecue. I'll give them a plug. Okay. You need to go to LA Barbecue. They're friends of mine. You're going to love it. Okay, so we go to this place. They're waiting for us because, phone calls were made, arrangements were made.
Right.
And they treat us like, we're family.
Right. A lot of us race car guys get treated good.
But they, they didn't know. It was because of a phone call.
Yeah.
And here, and it was like this gigantic tray of every kind of meat they have and sides, and just I was like, holy crap, so Robert and I sit down, my road roomie, we sit down, we eat, we get a hold of this brisket, and we both take a bite of it, and we're sitting across the table from each other and look up and go, dude, we only think we know what we're doing. We don't know shit. Right, okay. I'm like, yeah, we got a lot of work to do.
It's a tough way to find out.
We thought we were B plus. We're like C minus, maybe a D.
That's
all
right.
We only thought we knew what we were
doing. To me, I can do ribs pretty good. I do a shoulder fair to Midland. I did a brisket. It was far from good.
You doing a crock pot?
The brisket?
I'm kidding, man. I'm just messing. It's okay.
When you do it in a crock pot, that's called corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sure, we'll go
with that. But at any rate,
so as far as cooking,
brisket tar, man.
On the other end of it, Rob, you have been known to consume some serious, copious amounts. Let's start with Martinsville hot dogs. Every year, at times I go, oh, we're going to Martinsville. I don't give a shit about the race. What's Walt's going to do this weekend on the hot dog count?
I will say this. It has been several years.
Yes, I get that as you get older.
You've been a player.
Been a player in a hot dog game up there in Martinsville.
The hot dog game.
Several years. Right. In fact, there's been several races here recently where I haven't even consumed one.
Right.
I've been trying to turn over a new knife. Yes. So, the record for me,
Friday, Saturday,
and Sunday, and we're not talking rain delays, we're talking working.
Right.
46. 46 all the way.
All the way.
3 days. 46 hot dogs, 3 days. That's working. That's not rain delays, just sitting around doing nothing.
15 a day. Let's just say 15 a day.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I knew it was in the 40s, and as I was asking the question, because I remember on Facebook, the total
shredded.
Oh my god!
And on a different note, the single day record, and this was on a completely different weekend, is 23.
All right, 28. Go ahead. Yep. Okay, 23.
That's still working, not rain delay.
Oops. Got it.
Mine's like 15.
And I'm gonna tell a story. I'm gonna tell a story
I've had 15 every week.
I'm gonna tell a story on Jimmy Pullman. Car chief and I was at Ganassi on the 40. We're at Martinsville, obviously, for the hot dogs. And we get a sack of 10 and it's sitting on a toolbox. And we're doing qualifying runs. We have Frank Keady in the car.
Dario
Fratticini.
Yeah.
Fratticini, exactly, yes.
So, and you know, it doesn't take long to get around Martinsville.
Moving chicane, we used to call him.
Well, you know.
Go ahead.
Drive the hell out of an IndyCar, though.
Right.
So, it doesn't take long to get around Martinsville. Do a qualifying lap, right? So, we made a bet. The guys on the team were like, okay. We put 5 in front of each of us. They're like, as soon as the spotter says, there's your hole, go, 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 that's when it starts. And you got to be done 5 hot dogs before he gets back.
So you turned this into a Q run.
Oh, yeah. We did a hot dog qualifying. So me and Jimmy had 5 hot dogs sitting in front of us. We hear the spotter say, all right, here's your hole, you know, clear behind the 10 or whatever it was, you know, and he takes off, does 2 laps, comes back in. He and I both done it. 5 hot dogs, just like that. For a qualifying run, Martinsville. Yeah.
So this is during practice.
Unbelievable. During practice, yes. Okay, guys. Yeah, stupid.
Not like during qualifying you were doing that.
Just stupid nonsense.
No, that's all right. But that's
gastrointestinal torture.
But that's what we did back. I mean,
You know, you had the numbers. Remember the garage?
Oh, yeah.
You had the numbers on the beams. Everybody had the hash marks, you know, guys, you know. When they painted it over, it was a sad day. They even talked about it on TV.
Yeah, well, and, you know, we'd always go by your garage because it would say Lopes. And it was the prison. It was the counting of days to get out of prison, too. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, /1, 2, 3, 4, /1, 2, 3, 4, /.
So on the other side, wings is another thing.
Oh God!
Yeah, chicken wings. So, what's your flavor? What's your chicken wing?
I feel like I've expanded my palate on the chicken wing.
Yep,
I'm a big Thai chili guy right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm not big on the heat thing. I like to eat, not sweat.
Got it.
You know. So, are you looking for a chicken wing story here?
I'm looking for like you have a high amount.
So here's what we need.
Another
chicken wing place.
Chicken wing place. Well, I'll give you this chicken wing story from Indy.
Favorite Philly place, too.
Oh, you know where my favorite Philly place is.
I know.
You know where it is. We'll give him a shout.
Yeah.
So, another Jimmy Pullman story. It's funny that some of these gastrointestinal Olympic stories are with Jimmy and I.
Got it.
So, we're in Indy, and we go to this place. It was called Galahad's or something. Right. You know, it was right next to the hotel. We walked over to it. We walk up, and there's a sign out front, Wing Wheel. It was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
$9, $10.
Sure.
And basically it was a pizza tray with French fries, onion rings, and 50 wings.
50.
For like $10.
Okay. Something.
So Jimmy and I are like, well, hell yeah. Well, we don't get one to split. We get one each. And crush it.
Shocking.
Both of us. Sitting there. And people are walking by going like they just watched a train derail. You know what I mean?
NASCAR guys.
It was insanity.
Perfect.
And Jimmy's ahead of me. Yeah. And he's like, dude, you're going to hit a wall about 35. Just push through it, man. Just push through it. You can do it. You know? So we eat all these wings and all these
things.
It's like the Coca-Cola 600.
Right. It was ridiculous. Yeah. Like, you know, and just, I look back on this crap that I did to
myself.
There's
120 chickens walking around. Son of a bitch.
No. So the Colonel's gone. Just got the legs and everything else. Yeah, that's right.
We just did stupid things.
But you know what? You enjoyed it. Let's talk some racing.
Okay, let's talk some racing.
So the teams you've been with, can you rattle them off real quick?
Sapco, DEI, Childress's, Hendrick, Roush, a couple small teams in between there. Yeah, PPC for a little while. I was over at BAM.
Oh, yeah.
Beth Ann. You know, and Scott Eggleston was a crew chief over there. He asked me, you know, hey, man, I usually come over here on my program. Went over there, you know, and it was cool. Got to work with Schrader, which is, I mean, how can you turn that down?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, got to work with Schrader because he was great.
Even if you didn't want to, now you wish, you're glad you did.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Help season you.
Yeah.
Help season you. Absolutely. It was great. I had the opportunity, and I'm fortunate for this, of working with some very good crew chiefs and working with some good guys as far as older, you know, the guys that are older in the sport, kind of like where I am now, where
right,
you are one.
Right.
You know, we're the veterans. We're the old guys now.
Guys that taught us.
Right.
Yeah.
Now we're those guys.
Yes.
And granted, the landscape's changed, you know, and dynamics have changed some, but I was fortunate that I had guys that I worked with that showed me the right way to do things and taught me the right way to do things and how to be, and you know, this is what you need to do, and you need to shut your mouth, you need to learn,
yeah,
you know, learn as much as
look,
you can, keep your mouth shut, right? Yeah, you know, don't talk in public, don't say this, you know, just do your damn job and stay out of trouble, you know, and you'll live in this sport, you know. And I was really fortunate with that. Like I said, working with some good teams, some good crew chiefs. You know, Stevie Letarte, Gil Martin.
God,
yeah. Scott.
We both worked for Gil and Paul, and I mean, just phenomenal,
just phenomenal guys. You know, I do. Okay, so funny story.
Good.
Really funny story.
Bring it.
When I got hired at Hendrick. So, and you were, I think you were up at RCR when all that shit show went down in 2011.
I was.
So 2011, we had missed the championship in 2010 with Kevin by a few points.
Right.
Went all the way down to the end of the race, or last race at Homestead. 2011, we were still in the running mathematically, but we had wrecked in Talladega and it really killed us. So we're in Homestead with a mathematical chance, but I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff that had to happen. Well, we're, you know, you fly down on Thursday night, we get up, you know, we're in the parking lot getting ready to go to racetrack. Well, we get informed in the parking lot, the 29 crew as a whole, get informed in the parking lot, you guys will not be on this car next year. In fact, we don't know what we're going to do with you.
Before the race.
This is before practice. Now, this is coming from the driver. This was the driver's request. He wanted a new team, new crew chief. Everything.
Yeah.
So we're all like,
do it then?
Okay. We're like, so what do you do? The best place to network is a racetrack, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Sure. So anyway, I'm at the racetrack. Hey, you know, you hear anything? You know, hey, if you hear anything, you know, talking to all your guys.
The racetrack, I always say, is job fair.
Job fair, especially that time of year. You know, November is job fair.
Oh, yeah.
You know, guys trying to make moves. So, you know, I put the word out, hey, I'm looking, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, get done the race, whatever. And was due to go away on vacation right after Thanksgiving. I was going to Hawaii for like 3.5 weeks.
Nice.
So I fly to Hawaii, you know, long ride, you know, get out there, go to the house I'm staying in and everything, and have a few drinks, you know, this, that, the other. So, go to bed. Phone rings at 4 in the morning.
Out there?
Yeah, 4 in the morning Hawaii time. That's 9 o'clock a.m.
Yeah,
East Coast.
Sure.
And I look at my phone, and it was a buddy of mine who was working at Hendrick at the time. Guy's name is Bart. And he was one of those guys that, you know, it's not like I talk to him all the time, but, you know, I talk to him.
Queen.
And I'm like, okay, I wonder why he's calling me at 9 o'clock in the morning. So I answer the phone. I'm like, hello. And he's like, Lopes, it's Bart. Hey, man, what's up? Hey, listen, what are you doing? I said, sleeping.
In Hawaii.
He's like, oh, are you on vacation?
I got a lay on.
So I said, yeah. I said, and he goes, you on vacation? I said, yeah. He says, where are you? I said, I'm in Hawaii. He goes, oh, you're in Hawaii? I was like, yeah. He's like, hold on a minute. Steve Letarte wants to talk to you.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So I'm like, all right. And my, you know, I'm like laying there like this.
Yeah, Mele Kalikimaka.
So you hear the phone get passed off and you hear Stevie in the background. You got Lopes on the phone? Yeah, he's in Hawaii. Stevie's like, he's in Hawaii? He goes, it's got to be like 3 a.m. out there. Give me the phone. So he gives me the phone. He's like, Lopes. I'm like, yeah. He's like, Steve Letarte. I'm like, hey, man. He's like, are you really in Hawaii? I said, yeah. He goes, what time is it there? I said, it's 4 a.m. He goes, all right, listen to me very carefully.
Very carefully.
He says, hang up the phone. He says, go back to bed. He goes, I'm going to text you my number. When you get up, have some coffee and some breakfast, and call me.
Okay.
I said, Stevie, I said, what am I calling you for, man? He says, I need a tire guy on the 88. Mm-hmm. I said, all right. I said, Steve, and I was less, you know, not amused at the moment because sure. It was 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And I'm like, Stevie, man, I said, I ain't got time for games. I said, what are we doing? I said, how many guys on the list? He goes, just you. Oh. I went, all right, cool. So I go to bed, wake up, have some coffee, you know, whatever, give Stevie a call. We get to jawing back and forth. He says, hey, so how long are you staying out there? I said, I'm gonna be here till, you know, right before Christmas. He's like, well, I'm bringing the family out over these dates. I said, okay.
He's coming to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Him and the family happen to be coming to Hawaii on vacation. He says, what island are you on? I said, I'm on Maui. I said, I'm in Lahaina, this and that. He goes, well, you know where this town is, you know? I said, yeah. I said, it's right down the street from the house. So he's like, well, how about we meet out there? All right, cool. So he brings the family out. We talk.
You do a job interview in Hawaii.
Job interview in Hawaii at the condo.
I'll bring the Maui Wowie.
So this is no lie. We are sitting on the lanai in the condo that he rented for him and his family. Sitting on the lanai with the table and the waves are crashing and everything, and we're just jawing about this and that and the other thing. And next thing you know, I'm hired. Hey, when we get back, we'll get this squared away. He goes, I'll make a phone call. The paperwork will be sitting there for when you get home. He goes, I'll be home before you. I'll make sure it's ready. Blah, blah, blah. I get home from Hawaii, put my notice in at Childress's, drive to Hendrick, paperwork sitting there, fill it all out. Nice tan, the whole shooting match, you know. Job interview in Hawaii. No. Stevie Letarte will tell you, he goes, best job interview I ever gave was Lopes, man. He goes,
absolutely.
No one can beat that one.
See, I was feeling cool. I had my first job interview at RCR. It was at Hooters, but forget that story. Yeah. All right, we got some people here. There we go. I've never in all my life, Richard Coleman, I've never in all my life, years of racing met a man that does tires with the intensity of Rob. Between him and Mike Modell, made my rookie year in the tire pile very entertaining. Thank you, sir, for all your help and guidance over the years. Susan Weiss has asked about pie season.
You know what pie season is.
Yeah. From November through
Thanksgiving and New Year's. Everybody's got pie in the house. You walk into somebody's house. Hey, how's it going? Hey Tony, what's going on? He goes, would you like some pie? Absolutely.
Never dull moment on this show. Thank you, Walter. Some of your best moments in racing.
When they turn to 500, top of the sheet.
With
Dale Earnhardt Jr., 2014, top of the sheet. We won. It was really great. It was really different because we got rained on. We didn't finish that race till I think it was Saturday morning.
So I'll say this. You know what else makes it? You get dumped by Childress, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
You get your new interview in Hawaii.
In Hawaii.
You go to Daytona, and you win. It's whenever that happens, whenever you get dumped on you get to go to a new team and win, it always makes it sweeter.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know, it always,
because the feel good's
always way better.
Oh, yeah. We actually, it had been the first time in a while that Dale had won. We won Michigan in 2012. And it was right after the repave, you know, it was tire issues galore.
Yeah.
And, you know, tire guys up there, tire specialists up there working their guts out because there's big tire issues. And in fact, they even brought in new left sides that were aged. They brought left sides in that had been sitting in a warehouse. I think it was left sides.
Yeah.
Been sitting in a warehouse for 5 years.
Pablo hit the dryer.
No. That was a Pepsi race. Okay. That was a 400 when he hit the dryer. But anyway, getting back to the Daytona 500, we got rained on. We're sitting around. And we finished the race at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you know, you had to go through teardown, and the thing about Daytona 500 teardown is this, is they take the car from you and they put it in the museum for a year. You don't get the car back.
There.
And the car has to be as it is.
Came out, right, exactly.
As it came off the racetrack. Yeah. And they tell you, the director of the series comes over and says, listen, guys, don't wipe this thing down.
Yeah. Got to have the confetti on it.
Confetti's got to be on it. Don't peel any tape off of it. Right. Don't clean it. Don't do anything. Go through the tech process. Put it back together. If you have to cut a tie wrap, try to remember where it was. I mean, we're talking tie wraps. Try to remember where it was. Tie it back up. You know, this, that, the other. So we get done the tech process. It's 5:45 in the morning.
Hey, so let me guess. You're doing it.
We're definitely doing it, Kyle. I know where that came from.
That's his catchphrase.
Doing it. So we get done at 5:45. And you got to go to the champions breakfast the next morning to put the car in the museum.
I've been there with
The daggum breakfast is at like 7:30, 8:00.
So just stay up.
So you got to go back. You go back to the hotel. You get a shower. Stay up. Now, mind you, as guys were getting done working on the car, you're drinking beer.
Sure.
Because you're celebrating because you won a Daytona 500. So you're kind of half kicked in the butt at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
You go back to the hotel. You get a shower. You come back for breakfast. Well, you come in, we're sitting in this breakfast, you know, and the people from Daytona are talking, and Stevie's talking, and Dale's talking.
Nobody cares.
You know, everybody's doing the talking, and it's hot as the gates of hell in there. Sure. They had the heat set on equator. And you're just sitting in there, and you're already dog-ass tired, and you're just sitting there, and you've got eggs on the plate, and it's like this, you know, just used up.
Scrambled crappy eggs.
Yeah, just used up. What even added to that was the second race was in Fontana.
Oh, that's right. Went right to California, so Vegas, Phoenix. Yeah.
Our truck's sitting down there.
Oh, waiting.
It's Monday.
Oh, yeah.
The truck's got to get home. So they send the truck home as soon as tech was over because the truck's got to be there.
Right.
We fly home after the breakfast, get off the plane. We're told go right to the shop.
Yeah, you got to get to work.
Because the truck's got to leave Monday night. So you want to talk about a bunch of used up dudes.
You don't sleep for 3 days.
No. So we get back. We go, you know, everybody's asleep on the plane. In fact, I think I still have a picture on my phone somewhere. Stevie went around and took pictures of all his guys.
Sleeping on the plane.
Like this, you know. Drool, leaning up against the window.
For an hour flight, though.
Yeah, for an hour flight. You got a nap.
These are Daytona 500.
Yeah, he goes, this is your Daytona 500 winning team right here. You know, he took all these pictures.
Yeah, but that's part of it.
So, and it was great. You know, it's a memory. And get back, you bust your tail, get the truck loaded, get those cars headed to California. I remember walking in the house, I'm like, I'm going to sleep right now. It was 5 p.m. I'm like, I'm going to sleep, and I'm going to wake up at lunch tomorrow, and I don't care. Just used
up. But you had a Daytona 500. Man.
You're doggone right.
Doesn't matter.
Doggone right. With Dale Jr. It was great. Fantastic.
Real quick, biking. I know that's something you've taken up, because one time I was pulling out of Broadway School Road.
Broadway School Road.
And all of a sudden, I'm coming out. I got my top on, the Camaro's down. I got the vertical. And you go by, and I'm like, whoa! And you went, hey, man. I'm like,
yeah.
What's he doing up here? Like, you're bicycling by me.
I've taken that up, and I've kind of kept that to myself.
Well, you can't do that when it goes by.
So, I took up cycling. It'll be 2 years, July 29th.
Right.
And I've become quite addicted to it.
Mm-hmm.
The first time on a bicycle, I bought one used. First time on a bicycle, I rode 4 miles, thought I was going
to
die.
Now.
Now, we fall forward to this moment in time. I've ridden almost 12,000 miles.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, congrats.
In 2 years, almost 12,000 miles. I've done 14 century rides, which is 100 miles or more.
In one day.
In one ride. No, not even one day. One ride.
One ride, okay.
Like, I left the house and didn't come back for 6 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've come a long way with that. I love it. I'm addicted.
Good.
I have a fleet of bikes now. I have 3. I can only ride one at a time, but I have 3.
Thank just you for addicted to it. Man. Yeah.
Oh, there's a story that we need to talk about.
Okay.
We discussed it on the phone, and it's my boy Mule.
Yeah.
You had him on the show. My favorite tire guy in the garage.
Okay.
Okay. So, again, when I was on the 29, we were a that bunch was rugged.
Rugged.
And with Kevin was a different driver then, and we ruffled a lot of feathers in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one, and I believe it was, I think it was 2011, 2010, 2011. I think we fought with just about everybody. Like, if you Google NASCAR fights, the 29 guys were in it, you know? And we're at Darlington, and the driver of the 18, Kyle Busch, hooks us, right rears us. Kevin saves the car, doesn't wreck it. Daggum, he's mad as a hornet. We finish, you know, full forward, we finish the race. Kevin's coming on the pit road in front of Kyle. Checks up, stops. Kyle stops.
Is that when he chased him back?
This is when Kevin got out of the
car. Kevin got out of the car, somebody had the steering wheel off, right. And Kyle gasses it up,
and pushes the car,
while the caster split.
Running.
The caster split, turns the tires, heads toward the wall. Well, our guys are running that way.
Right.
So they're diving out of the way, diving over the wall, trying to get out of the way. Car hits the inside pin wall. Well, I'm on my way down there too, and I see it happening. And I'm seeing red. I'm like, I'm going after this son of a
bitch. After Kyle.
After Kyle. You know, and you guys know, that's a no-no. Crew guys don't run after drivers. You get in a lot of trouble for that.
At some point, something's going to happen. Yeah, go ahead.
So anyway, I've diverted my track. Now I'm headed to the 18 truck. Well, Kyle gets there. He's getting out of the car, and I'm probably 6-8 feet away from him, and I got my hands out ready to grab him by the neck. All of a sudden, this arm comes over my right shoulder, under my left arm, and is dragging me backwards as hard as I want to go forward. And it's Mule.
Right?
And he is like, you need to stop this. He's yelling at me. You need to stop this. He goes, you can't afford what you're about to do right now.
That's a crew guy, probably not.
You know, the fine you're going to get. Right,
right. And was Mule working for Penske at the time or someone else?
No, I think Mule's he was at Penske.
He's trying to save your ass.
He was saving my ass because, you know, we're boys.
Right.
So he's dragging me backwards, and he's yelling at me to calm down. You can't, do not do this. I said, I'm kicking his ass. He almost hurt my guys, blah, 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 blah. Sure. I'm going after him. He goes, you cannot do this. So he gets me calmed down. She shoves me over to the 29 truck to, you know, get out of the way and all that sort of stuff. So now, full forward a couple years.
Yeah, this is the same guy that just whipped a guy down like a rag doll. Sure.
Well, full forward, we're in Vegas. Little issue with the driver of the 22 and the driver of the 18.
Yeah.
Little dust up on pit road. And Kyle goes towards Joey. And Mule kind of grabs him by the head.
Yep.
And bounces him off the front of the hood of the car.
Boing. Yep.
And I wasn't there. And I end up hearing about it. I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, this is a bad gig. You know, this is bad because he put him down pretty hard. I'm not even to the airplane yet. And I get a text message, and it's from Mule. Yo, man, where were you?
To save us from doing that?
Yeah. Where were you?
Perfect.
I was my backup,
man. I was like, and I had to text him back. I'm like, oh man, I let my man down. I was like, I didn't know if this was going on, you know?
That's perfect.
I text him back and I was like, how much trouble are you in? He goes, I don't think I'm getting fined. I'm not sure about him suspended. He goes, but I did spend a long time in the trailer. I said, no doubt it. No doubt it.
And on that story, we're going to end this because you know what? I appreciate you
we
so much.
We could go all night.
We could go all night.
Maybe we'll
Kevin come back in a couple months, weeks, whatever.
Sure.
Because we got stories we didn't think about.
Oh, yeah. It's fine.
Hundreds. So I hope everybody enjoyed it.
I know you're a ball buster. But I know you're a solid person.
Appreciate it.
And I know there was times when I first started working, I'm like, what's that guy's deal, man? I don't even know him. Why is he being a jerk? But as the time went on, I realized you're a solid person. I've always appreciated that.
Yeah, not a jerk.
Thank you.
Just a ball buster.
Yeah.
We talked on the phone a little bit the other day. After a half, I go, man, I need to talk to that guy more. But you've been a good friend all these years, 20-some years.
Yeah.
We've celebrated New Year's Eve together.
Back
in the day at the other house.
Him and I did some jet ski riding.
Attempted to.
In the 90s.
Bad gig jet skiing in the 90s, man.
So I think we're going to have you on in a couple months again.
I think I'd be more happy.
We haven't had a repeat guest yet.
Right.
Johnny Benson. But I think Rob Lopes is going to be a top of the class.
Absolutely.
I'd be happy to do it. It'd be fun. We'll tell some different stories.
Yeah. We'll just tell some good DI stories.
Exactly.
Tell us one from there.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. Have a great, safe week. And shall we say it?
Say goodnight, Dick.
Goodnight, Dick.
Goodnight.
Thank you, everybody.
Dick.
Have a great week.
Thank you. Wow. Hey, another great show.
Thank you
so much, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. We do this every Tuesday night. And Warren, I think the guests we've had have been fantastic.
Phenomenal.
And the people that are following us, we appreciate it. We're reaching 42,000 people a month. Can you believe that? And we appreciate you watching.
Right.
And
we're having fun. Hope everybody else enjoys it.
That's it. And it's just a fun show, bucket of beer, guys sitting around talking about it. So keep tuning in. We appreciate it. Check out our store and everything. But we appreciate you people, and we will see you next week. Right, my friend?
Yes, sir.
All right. See you next week.